friends, thank you so much for being with us today. It's always an honor. We just don't want to ever take you for granted. It's because of you that we have these programs. And thank you today that you're with us. Remind a neighbor or friend, we have a program that is literally cram-packed with a lot of material that we think you'll find useful. Interviews, songs, and much, much more. We're going to show you a couple of clips today. I don't know that they are coordinated, but they are very resourceful. One is from my good friend, Pastor Zane Fischel. And then there is another one from President Richard Nixon giving his evaluations about the world status at his time.
You realize you can have revival whether the United States has revival or not. You can have revival whether North Carolina has revival or not. You can have revival whether Surrey County experiences a revival or not. You can have revival whether Temple Baptist Church experiences revival. You can come into this place, prayed up, read up. You can come into this place worshiping God when it seems like everybody else is down in the mouth and nobody else is worshiping. I'm telling you, I've done it. I've seen it. I know that you come into this place and you'd be walking on the clouds and seeing God do things in your life, and there's no revival meeting, no special singers. You can walk in a place of personal revival.
In the whole foreign policy area, I believe what is most important is that it be an effective foreign policy and one that will always put emphasis on our primary responsibility, and that is to have our system survive. It must survive because the United States, whatever our faults may be, is the hope of the world. We are the main force that deters the only major nation that threatens war or defeating other nations without war. And we are the nation that will certainly defend freedom wherever we possibly can when it's within our capabilities.
But if we compromise our principles, doesn't that make our survival not worthwhile, or the same nation isn't surviving?
As a matter of fact, war compromises principles. War is evil. All war is wrong. All killing is wrong. But you take Eisenhower's decision for the bombing of Dresden in World War II. It was a civilian target. Now, that was immoral, but it would have been more immoral to allow Hitler to rule Europe. And those are decisions that leaders have to make, and sometimes they are terribly difficult.
And friends, we, as we have said repeatedly, it is our desire to have a program that will be of interest and will be of benefit to you. We hope to start doing a special segment that says today's guests. And we're going to invite just a lot of people. People that not necessarily may not be pastors or politically connected, but maybe just what we would call our citizens, just the common citizen that works and has a belief in faith, family, and freedom. We're going to call that today's guest. But right now we have a beautiful song, that one that says, lay your burdens at his feet. But I particularly also want you to pay attention as I give a little short synopsis on the border.
Jesus, let him bear your heavy load. He will lead you through the lonesome valley as you travel on life's road. Lay your burdens at the Savior's feet. Lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus. Lay your burdens at his feet. Lay your burdens at the Savior's feet. Lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus. Lay your burdens at his feet. Trust his promises and doubt him never. He's a sure and precious friend. Let his will be gladly praise him ever. Lay your burdens at his feet. Lay your burdens at the Savior's feet. Your burdens at the feet.
How should a Christian, patriotic American respond to the border crisis? As I speak to you today, the United States is taking in tens of thousands of immigrants through our southern border every month. These immigrants are entering the country without vetting and are being trusted to return to a courtroom sometime in the future for a hearing on their status. Some of these immigrants are carrying diseases. Others are criminals, having been released from prisons, while others are looking to take some of what the United States is giving away. One awful tragedy is the trafficking of children by cartels. And many of these children arrive with no adult parental figures. Many churches and pastors have taken the position that we are responsible to take in every refugee and immigrant, legal or illegal, because that is what Jesus would do. Although that sounds like a nice sentiment, it hardly passes the smell test when one looks at what Scripture tells us about how immigrants should behave. When Moses wanted to take the Israelites through Edom, he did not assault the Edomites' border. He asked the leaders if the Israelites could simply walk through the land without taking any of their food, water, or other resources. The Edomites said no. What did Moses do? He led his people around Edom without any reprisals against Edom. Why did Moses do that? He did it because he respected the laws and leaders of Edom. It is obvious that is not the case with the so-called refugees assaulting our borders. Some have argued that Joseph and Mary and Jesus were immigrants when they traveled into Egypt to escape the murder of Jewish babies at the hands of King Herod. Since Jesus was an immigrant, a refugee, they say we should see all immigrant refugees as Jesus. This argument is nonsensical, as Egypt and Palestine were both ruled by the Romans. There was not immigration taking place, and Jesus' family were not refugees. In a country that is over $30 trillion in debt, $34 trillion, I believe, at this point, is it wise to go deeper in debt to accept people into the country who have no intention of respecting our laws? Jesus told us we are to respect our leaders and respect our laws. He said this while living in one of the most corrupt, morally bankrupt societies the world has ever known. Sometimes Christian leaders get their feelings in front of their knowledge and make terrible statements about things of which they are ignorant. There is no biblical mandate to accept hordes of lawless invaders just because they claim immigrant status. We should welcome those who come for us honestly and are willing to undergo the process of becoming a citizen. But in today's America, with our personal liberties at stake, and with the government spending our money and resources at a precipitous rate, it does not make social or moral sense to open our borders to anyone who can get here. If you and your family were in great debt and did not have enough money to take care of your own needs, and 10 strangers showed up at your house demanding to stay with you and pillage your resources, would you let them in? I don't think you would. The immigration issue is not one of emotion. It is about the rule of law, organized theft of our resources, and a complete disregard of American citizens by our government and foreigners who have no idea what it means to be an American. If you'd like to have any of our products, we do have a Faith, Family, and Freedom Handbook. We have some DVDs. We did one with Pastor Jim Scudder in Washington, D.C. a little over a year ago. It's called Can You Find God in D.C.? I think you will enjoy the beautiful programming that was done in the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials and other places. If you want any of our products, just call us or get in touch with us as would be indicated there on the screen. Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps, and I'm holding my new book, It's Always a Struggle, But, and I want you to have a copy. So many of you have been dear friends. You have encouraged us on our Faith, Family, and Freedom ministry, the television, radio, and we have this wonderful book that I think you will thoroughly enjoy. 291 pages total, about 50 pages of color pictures. My, the content in this will hold your attention, and I want to send you your copy. You can order by going to PayPal through the website, Phipps, Faith, Family, and Freedom, or you can send a check directly to Andrew Phipps, Post Office Box 2099, Muncie, Indiana, 47307. You have the website or directly through mail. God bless you. Thank you for being a dear friend. And I hope these short nuggets, some of them are a minute long or a little bit less or more, but we try to capsulize within that time frame information that we feel is relevant and information that is pertinent. So today we're going to be talking about John Quincy Adams. We're going to be talking about leaving a legacy and also something that has to do with all of us, and that's public education. And we're also going to show you the Mark Trammell Quartet, a great song that the late G.T. Spear wrote. The song's one of my favorites. It says, He is mine, and I am His. Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps. And this year past, I visited the gravesite of John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, right there in Quincy, Massachusetts. And John Quincy Adams is quoted as saying, The Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth and laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity. To say that Christian principles were not involved in the foundations of our government would be a grave mistake and an error. For those who claim that the founding fathers did not want any religious inferences or did not want any Christian values in our social compacts, that is contrary to what they said. Our nation was looked upon to be a Christian nation, and that was the thing that separated us from other countries. The fact that we believe that power resides in the people because we looked to the Lord Jesus Christ as the supreme ruler and judge of the universe. Another area where we as parents can improve upon is creating a legacy. We should teach, educate, and lead our children by helping them to understand who they are. In the Old Testament, we read over and over about how parents were to remind their children about their history. Hebrew children were reminded that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was their God, and that Moses had delivered them from Egyptian bondage. They further learned of the parting of the Red Sea, the giving of the commandments, and the Passover lamb. Their generations were not to forget these happenings, particularly the night of the Passover lamb, which was to be a night much to be observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. Our kids must know who we are, what has been created for them, and their responsibility to keep it.
Listen to the great story.
Just a young girl, and but I remember the conviction for days.
Yes.
How miserable it was. I don't see much of that anymore, but I remember, no, it's real.
Yes.
It's real. And cause a little child to get up in a multitude of people.
Yes.
And go to the mourner's bench.
Yes.
A man of God opened the Word of God to John 3:16.
Yes.
God so loved the world and me that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's me. I'm shouting it out because of it. Amen. Glad I'm saved. Amen.
I have wondered many times why the Lord saved me. Why he would grant me repentance and faith to believe. And I'm so glad. That's so good, I'm going to do it again. I have wondered many times why the Lord saved me. Why he would grant me repentance and faith to believe. I wondered why he reached down so low for just one old sinner. Well, I suppose he must have seen something no one else could see. He must have seen something worth saving that day he reached down and forgave me. He must have known this wretched old sinner would be. And though I feel I'll never be worthy, my God is real and so is his mercy. He must have seen something worth saving when he saved me. One single day goes by that I don't fail him. But I'm so glad that he's faithful and just to forgive. And there's no way that I can hope to ever repay him. So I'll just keep singing his praises as long as he lets me live. He must have seen something worth saving that day he reached down and forgave me. He must have known how happy this wretched old sinner would be. And though I feel I'll never be worthy, my God is real and so is his mercy. He must have seen something worth saving when he saved me.
And friends, this program has been excellent as far as I'm concerned. I appreciate your being a part of it. And we always encourage you to remind neighbors and friends, and I'd love to come to your area. If I haven't been there, go to our website, FIPS, Faith, Family, and Freedom, and we would be happy to do that. We have been going to churches, fundamental churches across the country now for a good while. The Lord's given us a good schedule, and we're always excited about that. Also, if you want to get our book, It's Always a Struggle, But, go to the website, FIPS, Faith, Family, and Freedom, or you can send it directly to our post office box. Either way, we would like to share that with you. It's a beautiful book. And again, we're always glad that you are with us. We thank you for taking your time, and hopefully we can be with you at the very next occasion. But until then, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps, saying, may God bless you and yours.